The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
I have a confession to make. I don't think I've ever eaten at a Taco Bell.
You've never eaten at Taco Bell?
Nope.
What? Have you been to a McDonald's?
Yes.
Wendy's?
Yes.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, although I'm not a huge fan.
But somehow you've, like, your entire life, you never went to Taco Bell. Have you never driven home drunk in the middle of the night when every other restaurant was closed?
Not Whataburger.
That's true. Whataburger takes forever when you're hammered.
Yeah, I know, but when you're hammered, you don't really care either. Nothing happened with Harden and Westbrook last night. I don't think we expected it to.
Well, I was talking to John Granato about this today. Tillman saying they're more than willing to be uncomfortable. Basically, what they're saying is, I don't really care if James and Russ bitch and want to get out of here. They're under contract. I don't care if they're not happy about it. It's not something an owner usually says, but maybe Tillman wants to keep what he's got.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Beaumont Blitz, hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number if you want to text the show. You can also get us on Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Tyler Drew Scott. You can text the show, you know the number for that, and you can watch, well, you can't watch us on Twitch, but you can comment on Twitch, and you can listen on Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975, miss the first 2 hours, some of what you missed. A lot of good stuff today. We always have fun coming over here to Beaumont, and a lot of great people over here.
You know who's very popular in Beaumont? Juggalo Trey.
Yeah, I think we're going to have Juggy Trey COVID tested before we allow him back in
the
happy hour, though.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, because he's been over there breathing on everybody.
Yeah, he's wearing like a full, like a scuba suit in the studio tomorrow. Yeah. I ain't getting around him.
Yeah, you're not getting within 20
Plus,
feet.
I'm pretty sure he's going to hook up with his blonde chick here in the next few minutes, and that's going to... You hook up with a Beaumont chick, you got to get tested.
Well...
Them's the rules! There's no knock on it. Listen, it's...
Hey, we've all done it,
yeah.
Okay? We come over here a lot. Things happen.
Yeah.
Let's class this thing up a little bit and go to our buddy.
She's like, I'm not from Beaumont.
I'm from Port Arthur.
I'm from Groves.
I'm from Port Neches. let's class this thing up a little bit and go to our buddy Taylor McCarg. And Taylor, fingers crossed, you're going to have a Rice game this week?
Man, not this week. They're on the road this week. I'll have UTEP the following. But, yeah, they had back-to-back canceled, which is unfortunate. But I got to say really quick, I can't believe it. I think that was Fred that has never been to Taco Bell. I think that's the most unbelievable thing I've ever heard in my life.
I said the same thing. That's very wild that the dude's never been to Taco Bell. I got to be honest, Taylor, you can go ahead and make plans for next weekend. Rice, UTEP. Zero chance that game's happening. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. I don't think there's a prayer in the world that that game happens.
Yeah, and it's one of those things now where there's been a few games you've seen around the country. Go back to the Pac-12 game. You know, they played Sunday morning last week. It was Cal and UCLA that they threw together last minute. I think there's potential for that to happen where they drop in a different CUSA team for Rice to play. But obviously, COVID outbreak in El Paso right now, would not be surprised if the game gets pushed as well.
There's not a lot of games in Texas involving Texas teams, period, this week. A&M got canceled. UH got canceled. I think this is the first time it's UH's fault, right? They've been they've always been the other team. This time I think they're the team that's got the Roni. A&M and Texas both canceled. So just hard time putting together a game in our state. But it does, you know, there's some games out there. We got a top 10 matchup, Ohio State, Indiana. So there's going to be games every week, but I kind of hoped maybe foolishly by this point in the season that it would start to normalize. And it seems like it's going the opposite way. You get kind of the same vibe.
Yeah, I think we're in the midseason form of what the conversation looked like back in August, right? I think if you were going to see, had a conversation with a couple buddies earlier in the week that were like, you know, it feels like we're going to get this whole thing shut down. And I'm of the opinion that the conferences that were the first ones to say they're going to play will continue to play. I think the SEC, regardless of what happens, is going to play this thing out. You know, who knows how many games they're going to get. But yeah, I think there's a scenario that you see, you know, the Pac-12 or the Big Ten or specific schools even that, you know, not a whole conference that says, guys, we're not doing this. We were only going to play six games to begin with. The Big Ten's requirements to, we've talked about, you know, they're really threading the needle with getting kids, you know, 21 days out if you test positive for it with these outbreaks in certain parts of the country. It does feel like, yeah, you might see a conference say, you know, we're packing this thing up, or specific teams say, you know, we're done playing for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean, kind of a side note, but college basketball is supposed to start up next week. Is college basketball going to be any easier to get games in than college football?
I think it would be harder, right? I mean, the travel multiple times, your travel requirements, that's what it sounds like presents the most challenges. Now, I get it's a smaller operation, less people that you're putting on the road, but I'm not sure how you pull off a full basketball season. I know they're already talking about what a bubble scenario would look like for the championship for March Madness, but I don't know. I think whatever issues you're running into, regardless of the sport, if you're having an outbreak, it's going to impact everything. And there's also, there's a lot of people that are of the opinion that basketball in close contact, no equipment, you know, no helmet on, that you're more liable to spread it on the court as opposed to football. I'm not sure if there's any validity to that, but it's going to be challenging for everybody, kind of regardless of the sport, I think.
Yeah, the CDC says football helmets protect you from coronavirus, so it's a new thing that they just came out.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Taylor McCarg, our guest. Fred and I had a discussion the other day, and Fred, it's not like Fred came up with the list, but Fred found a list of the top 10 quarterbacks so far this season. And I kind of wanted to get – one of the guys that was left off the list was Sam Ehlinger. So first, let's start with him. What are your thoughts on what Sam's done this year relative to expectations? Has Sam been a disappointment in your mind?
No, not at all. I would say the exact opposite. Sam has been the only reason that Texas has had a shot in all of last year and this year. Go back to 2019, the middle of the season when they had a bunch of injuries. He is the only reason they won a handful of those games and got them to 7-5 in the regular season. I mean, without Sam, that is not a bowl team last year. They were not very good. And go to this season, he brought them back against Texas Tech. He brought them back against Oklahoma. He's willed his team into some of these positions for a team that has some fundamental flaws, especially on the defensive side of the ball. At one point, I'm not sure if they are anymore, but they were the leading offense in the country in terms of points per game. So Sam is not going to be a first-round, second-round pick. I think in terms of his pro potential, he's going to be a mid-round, think like a Jake Fromm from Georgia last year, go in, be a backup. Maybe there's a way for him to have some sort of package where it's like more of a goal line, kind of what the Eagles are doing with Jalen Hurts right now. But he's not going to be – it doesn't shock me that he's not on anybody's top 10 list. He's not going to be a first- or second-round pick.
What about Kellen Mond? What have you seen from him so far this season? He has to be better than what you expected based on what he did last season.
It is, and I think the win over Florida was the piece that he needed, right? We talked about his completion percentage and his touchdown-to-interception ratio against ranked teams was one of the worst in the SEC coming into the season. He struggled in the biggest moments, and if you're going to be the guy at a place like A&M, you got to rise up in the biggest moments. And he's done that to this point in the season. They got off that slow start against Vanderbilt, but really after that, save the loss to Alabama as well, he's played really well you can see them building confidence as a team. He's got all the intangibles in the world. He struggles with accuracy at times. His inconsistency is what's going to prevent him from, because he's got the physical build and the arm to be a first round pick, but he won't be. I think he's going to be taken very similarly to Ehlinger. He's going to be mid-round, third or fourth-round kind of guy.
What about Mac Jones, who I think has exceeded everyone, including Nick Saban's expectations this season? Has Mac Jones turned himself into a legit NFL prospect? And I mean, it seems like the guy can do no wrong. Mind you, he's playing on a pretty good football team right now.
He is playing on a good football team, but his biggest attribute is he is on time and efficient in their system. He gets the ball where it needs to be. Yes, they've got explosive playmakers, but you've still got to get it to him, right? And he's extremely accurate, completing almost 80% of his passes to this point in the season. And that's one of the things, you know, Justin Fields, the praise that he's getting is about accuracy. And Mac Jones has put himself, he's benefited from Trevor Lawrence being out because of COVID for a couple weeks, but Mac Jones has put himself in the driver's seat really for the Heisman at this point, which no one would have thought of coming into the year. So he's getting a lot of comps to Joe Burrow from last year for that reason. I'm not sure that you're not going to see him taken first round. I don't think you're going to build pieces around him like Joe Burrow from last year, but he is certainly the more he plays at this level, he's increasing his stock as much or more than anybody at the quarterback position.
Yeah, speaking of Joe Burrow, one of the guys that his numbers compare very well if you put it out over 15 games, which obviously he's not going to get, but Kyle Trask is having a nutso year too.
Kyle Trask is he and Mac Jones really are the guys that have surprised me most. The guy that trained me all of my career based in Austin trained Kyle Trask, and I remember him saying Trask is going to have a monster year. And I'm like, well, you know, you train him, you probably maybe some bias there. He's like, no, you don't understand. His improvement, his accuracy, he's a big dude. I kind of liken him to like a Ben Roethlisberger where he has the fastball when he needs it. But that guy, if you pay attention, his touch, his sort of three ball that has a lot of air on it is one of the best I've ever seen at the college level. And that's something that he worked on a ton this offseason. Trask is a guy. I know I said Mac Jones, I don't think he's going to be a first-round pick. I think Kyle Trask, if he keeps playing at this, or Mac Jones rather, if Kyle Trask keeps playing at this level, he will be a first-round pick if somebody reaches up and says, hey, we think we want to build around this guy.
And then lastly, I'll ask you about Trevor Lawrence, who obviously missed a couple games with the Roni, including their what would have been their biggest game that they've had so far this season. I mean, what you've seen of him on the field, though, is it everything that's been advertised?
He is, and people get tired of hearing this, but he's can't miss. I mean, he's as can't miss as you're going to find. He's got all the physical tools. He loves the game. His teammates love him. He doesn't have anything off the field that you point to and question. I'm not sure, you know, it doesn't matter if it's the Jets or whoever. He's going to, even if they have a sound quarterback, he's going to be the number one overall pick. And he's, go back to, I know Andrew Luck obviously had his injury issues, but he's as can't miss a prospect as there's been since Andrew Luck.
Kind of taking it off the quarterbacks, let's go back to LSU where they've got some issues, it looks like. Maybe Fred and I were talking, I don't know if I want to put Baylor on them just yet, but it certainly seems like there's some Baylor-esque things going on in Baton Rouge. Is this a situation where all the beauty that came out of last season could be washed away in a hurry?
Well, the short answer is yes. I mean, coupled with the more important thing is obviously the claims that are being made right now, and you read through some of this stuff, it's pretty damning. And if there's validity to this, and if they can prove that a lot of this ultimately falls back on Ed Orgeron, that's all it takes, regardless of what's happening on the field. The other, and this is just the ugly side of major college football, winning, unfortunately, you know, with Art Briles and that Baylor staff, they were winning at such a high level that a lot of this got swept under the rug. But your problems are magnified when you're not winning games. And these fan bases will turn quickly. Forget about what happened last year. What have you done for me lately? You have problems off the field, major problems off the field, and you're putting this effort out on the field right now. There is a storm, I think, building in Baton Rouge, and it would not shock me if they're able to pin a lot of this ultimately on Ed Orgeron. It would not shock me if he's let go because of this.
Kind of getting back to what we're talking about with all the postponements and cancellations, do you see any way that they can do the playoff when it's scheduled, or is it almost a lock that it's going to have to get moved back?
They can get it done when it's scheduled, assuming there's not, if you have the usual suspects, the teams that we think it's going to be, right? Ohio State, winner of the Clemson-Notre Dame game, and then Alabama, whoever the fourth spot is. Let's say it's A&M, just to, you know, give Aggies too much hope right now. If those teams, if you get to that point and those teams are all fine, right, and there aren't any COVID lockdowns, we talked about this, I believe, last week. You got to get that playoff started right now. Don't give them the normal 3 weeks to get their bowl prep. forget that. You got to get them in right away. Give them maybe 2 weeks to prep and get a little bit healthy and roll right into it and play this and lock these kids down. Don't allow 2-3 weeks before they play and then 2 weeks before the national championship. That's where you're going to get an outbreak, and nobody wants to see this thing get pushed all the way out into like February.
Let's say let's put a hypothetical in place. Let's say it's Ohio State. It's Clemson. Clemson beats Notre Dame in a squeaker. And it's Alabama, and then that fourth team. Let's say they're trying. It looks like it's going to be one loss A&M or a one loss Notre Dame, and they say, okay, it looks like we're probably leaning towards Notre Dame, the bigger brand name, but Ian Book has coronavirus. Do you think that the committee would make a decision based on who's going to be able to put the best product on the field come game day?
They would never admit it, but yes, absolutely. If that scenario you just laid out, if Notre Dame runs the schedule, Notre Dame has a couple tests left. They still have to play Wake Forest. That could sneaky be a matchup that Wake Forest
North
could
Carolina.
Win that game. Say again?
And they got to play North Carolina, who can put
and
up some
and
points.
And they still have North Carolina. So there's a couple games left on their schedule that are not just giveaway, throwaway wins. Both of these teams have games down the stretch where they can prove their worth. You know, look at A&M. They got to go on the road at Auburn, and Auburn's playing better the last couple weeks. If one of these teams rolls through the rest of their schedule, I think that's going to be what ultimately gets them in. But to your initial point, they would never admit it. The playoff committee would never admit it. But if that happened, and right afterwards you find out Kellen Mond or Ian Book has COVID, I would not be shocked if that is something that behind closed doors is brought up, and the opposite team that is more is deserving is actually in because of it.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg. You can follow him on Twitter at TMcCarg16. Joins us every Thursday, does a great job. And here's hoping you have a game next week to call, because what's it been, one this year?
It's been one. UTSA got pushed, and obviously could be UTEP as well. Hey, everybody's going through it, just trying to stay positive and hope for the best. Hopefully we do get that game, but we will see.
All right, bud, we'll talk to you next week, and I will not be going to Taco Bell before the next one. So
you're missing out. I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you too. All right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz, 97.5, 92.5. Oh, my.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it's AJ Hoffman. It's fall and we could all use a little awesome. Well, our friends at Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collections for guys, guaranteed to upgrade your life. From style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and outdoor gear, Box of Awesome has collections for every part of your life. Bespoke Post only sends guys the best stuff every month. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. Who wouldn't want awesome stuff sent to them every month, right? It's like Christmas on your doorstep. Whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads for when the temperature dips, no matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered. To get started, take the quiz at boxofawesome.com. Your answers will help them to pick the right Box of Awesome for you. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BLITZ at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, promo code BLITZ for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Guess what we have to do?
What do we have to do, Fred?
Non-pedo positive Rona update of the day.
Positive. Non-pedo. Corona update of the day.
By the way, that song now number 5 on the Billboard charts.
Thank you.
With a bullet. So, let's get it to number
Royalties
1.
Royalties are pouring in.
Yeah, just keep downloading it.
And unlike Taylor Swift, I own the rights to all my music.
Yeah, I get 10%, though, is my idea.
You get nothing.
10% my idea.
You get a segment. That's really only a segment because I made a song
okay,
for it.
Okay, Lawyer Dave will be in touch with you.
Good.
Yeah, so don't go shooting any more guns or else.
Don't talk about my crimes.
It wasn't a
crime. I was cleared of those charges, sir.
That was dismissed.
Yeah.
It was dismissed. You should have countersued. But for damage to your reputation.
That's right.
Yeah. So the numbers are about what they've been, although yesterday we had a pretty low new case count.
Hey,
so.
Shannon, can you move so that chick can sit by Trey?
I think Trey has a better shot with me than the chick.
Oh, no. Yeah, but.
Well, yeah, we knew that, though.
Damn.
Yeah, Shannon.
I disagree with him, Trey. I think, I don't know what he's talking about. I think you're peach.
Hey, they made a point to tell him that they were not leaving a minute ago.
Well, you're not talking. You're Trey at happy hour talking off mic.
Yeah. That's Saint Shannon from Beaumont who calls in the show a lot. So anyway, we look at five things. The effective reproduction rate, same as it was yesterday, hasn't gone up.
Okay.
That's a positive, right?
I mean, I don't know if it's a positive. It depends on where it was.
Well, I was at 1.1.
Like, if I killed one person yesterday and then I kill one person today, I can't just say, well, at least I didn't kill two people today.
Yes, you can.
That's a positive.
Yes, you can.
No, it could be bad.
Now, if you've been walking around killing at least 1 to 3 people every day.
Now, if I killed no people yesterday and I killed the same amount of people today, that's a positive.
That would also be.
Mind you, that's a fact also. I killed nobody yesterday or today.
That's not true.
Absolutely true.
The testing positivity rate also did not go up. It's 5.5, still a little higher than last week, but not noticeably. 751 new cases yesterday, which is still too many. But as long as it's under 1,000, we're not getting into that crazy number again. And it was under 500 yet the day before. So that's not bad. That's the curve not really up curving.
Are you saying the curve is flattened?
Well, I feel like it's been flattened for a while.
Now it's starting to bubble again?
It's starting to bubble a little bit, but it's not turning into what it was.
Okay.
And we're not close to that, despite the alarming headlines that you keep reading. 155.
Joke's on you. I don't read the news.
No, there you go. See, if you would just.
Joke's on you. I can't even read.
Well, okay. Go listen to the news then.
Yeah, well.
And as many murder podcasts as you listen to, I don't buy that you haven't killed anybody today.
I haven't. And that's all I listen to is murder podcasts. I don't listen to the news.
Well, the 155 new patients yesterday, which is still higher than last week, but that's slightly down from the day before. And phase one ICU is 93% full, also slightly down from yesterday.
Okay.
So, again,
I've got an idea.
It's not good out there, but it's not as bad as you know, we're being told.
You want to hear my idea that could fix a lot of this?
Be a serial killer?
Let's build some more ICU rooms.
Everyone's
like, oh, the ICU's filling up. Let's make some more ICU rooms. That way, if people keep getting the Roni and going to ICU, we'll be like, no big deal. We got plenty more new rooms, man.
But, well, I'm told, though, that...
Like, build a hotel that's only ICU rooms.
Well, I thought they did that. I thought they had a temporary place ready to go, and they never needed it.
That was at the rodeo, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then they tore it down without ever using it. Seems like it would have been smart to leave that up, just saying.
Well, they don't need it yet. And we didn't need it when it got really, really bad. It got close. But right now, we're not at a point where you need it. So, and I also have a positive Beaumont report, and no one in Beaumont has the Rona.
Correct.
So, pretty obvious. Well, at least that's what we think.
Except this girl that Trey is probably going to make out with here in a little bit.
And yeah, you're going to have to take the.
And by then, the Rona's the least of your worries, buddy.
AJ, this is the time to hook up with people because no other
is the Rona supposed to burn my.
No other diseases exist right now. We know that. So bleep away, man. So, and somebody says we have plenty of ICU rooms. It's the staffing that's the issue. We don't have enough ICU nurses.
Oh, here's part two of my plan. When you build new ICU rooms, hire new ICU nurses. Huh?
I don't know if there's
beat that plan.
Well, that's the one thing that does suck about this is a lot of the.
And you might be saying, Fred, where are we going to get ICU nurses?
Yeah.
Ask me. Where? A lot of homeless people out there needing jobs, right?
Yeah.
Train them up. Man, I should have run for mayor or something. I had this stuff on lock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, homeless. I don't think you realize all the skill it takes for those people to do that job and keep people alive.
Okay, well, let's give homeless people some of the, like, our jobs, and then you and I can go be ICU nurses.
I don't want to be around the Rona. There's a reason I didn't go in the medical profession.
Well, you're not scared of it.
No, but I'm also not smart enough to go into the medical profession. How's that?
Well, that's probably true, but I can do it.
Mm.
And then, like Trey. Trey's got experience rolling dirt. He could be a nurse. Right? We could promote vets. Like veterinarians could now be nurses.
Well, listen, I do know that veterinarians have to be doctors when it comes to
what about
mafia.
Vet techs?
I don't know. I'm wanting these vets who have to take care of mafia guys who get shot to become doctors.
I honestly think there's plenty of people who'd like to be a nurse. I think they could do that job. That's good. That's a secure job in 2020.
Yeah.
That ain't going nowhere.
I think you have to go to school for at least 2 years, so by then there will be no Rona.
Well, we'll speed up the process.
Yeah.
I've got plans for all that stuff.
I see. Well, how about plans to get the balance on your credit cards down?
I don't have a plan for that.
Well, that's why you need LightStream. And you can turn those balances into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate and start saving money as soon as today. LightStream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.59% or 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. So if you got good credit, the rate's fixed. It'll never go up over the life of the loan. Application's 100% online. You don't even have to leave your house to apply. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. Can even get your funds as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Blitzers can save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. That's LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest interest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
Forever I rip, put the set on the chain. I'm thugging you, I already know how I came. Yeah, you got money, but be lame. I Lambo'd a light, told her.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. This is a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-3776, live in Madison's in Beaumont. Two segments left in the show, so you still got time to get out here before we are done. And I want to thank Madison's for having us back. Love this place. It's always a good time when we come here. I want to thank Miller Coors for making it all possible. And most of all, I want to thank all the Golden Triangle Blitzers for showing up
and
supporting us. And especially the birthday girl there, Lauren, who comes to everything along with her husband. So,
You make him sound like he's just like one of her accessories or something. Like.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to.
Like, she brings her purse everywhere. Like, oh yeah, she comes to all our events with her husband. He's always there following along.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your point? No, Aaron's great. They're both great. I appreciate you guys all coming out, man. It's been a blast as it always is. I haven't. This is not interesting to you or me, but it's interesting to most of the people here, including Trey, who are single.
Well, for now.
Well, I mean,
if that chick's boyfriend doesn't show up pretty quick, Trey's about to be
locked up. Yeah, mentioned you hadn't killed anybody today.
That's
true.
You
might want to help your boy out. And I'm just kind of curious. It says 6 out of 10 people believe dating will never be the same after the coronavirus. And I'm just kind of curious how...
Dating will never be the same?
Dating will not be the same.
I wonder, like, I don't know, like, I wonder if chicks who go out on, like, Tinder dates now will just make out with dudes on the first date.
Well, that from a guy.
Yeah, that dude says, hell yeah.
Yeah.
He would do it. Yeah. But I'm, like, talking about chicks who are generally more, like, dudes will always, they're like, oh, well, there's a chance I'll die from this.
But what the hell?
But there's a chick here, so let's do it.
Let's go.
Like, I wonder with chicks if they're, like, if there's more discernment than normal. Because normally chicks, they're obviously more, they're more discerning than we are. But
well, yeah, I mean,
I wonder if a chick is more likely to make out with a dude she barely knows with the Roni.
Well,
or do they do socially distanced dating? I don't know. I don't know how it works.
Well, I think a little cocaine would probably.
Girls do love cocaine. That's one thing that I've learned in my 40 years of life is girls do love cocaine. She's over there shaking her head no. I don't mess with that. She's from Beaumont. In Beaumont, girls love methamphetamine. That's why. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Oh, you're from Houston? You came all the way out here for the show? You live here now. You're from Beaumont, honey. Sorry. Listen, just because the trailer's got wheels, your house is in Beaumont now, honey.
Oh, boy. But basically, they surveyed 2,000 people. 63% believe dating will be forever altered. 31% believe virtual dates are here to stay.
I don't want a virtual date.
Yeah, I'm going to...
The chances of getting laid on a virtual date, I'm not great at math. It seems like about zero. That just seems like something that would be very difficult to pull off.
Or pull on.
I see what you did.
Sorry. That was too easy. That was low-hanging fruit. They reveal 66% believe the pandemic has been the biggest game changer since the rise in online dating. I don't know because this is not something that I've done for years or will ever do again. But I kind of feel like maybe the old days of going to the bar, getting the girl drunk, and taking her home are probably, that might be a little iffy now. Our percentage might not be as high.
That was the old days. That was inline dating,
not online. I see. Plus, I just think people like each other less.
Well, I do believe that. I think everybody's in sort of a worse mood now in 2020. But I would also think that people would want to get laid more in 2020. It's like, I'm in a terrible mood. What'll fix that?
Cocaine.
Cocaine's not the answer to every problem, Fred.
It's what you've always told me. I'm just repeating.
Well, I lied to you about that.
Well, why'd you do that?
It's the solution to a lot of problems, but not every problem, all right?
Okay, fine.
But, yeah, I would think that there would be there is sort of a two-sided coin because there's people who are like, man, I really want to get out of my house. I want to get laid. I want to have fun. But then there's also, I don't want to die of coronavirus. So I can see how that works.
Well, maybe you have to raise your standards a little bit. You figure if I'm going to go out and meet somebody and hook up, they have to at least be an 8 as opposed to a 6.
Right.
Yeah, you just raise your standards a little bit.
I've got a Florida story.
Oh, hit it.
It's about a mom. It's a good parenting story where a mom was like, you know what? My son is not sleeping at night, and he won't eat his food. He won't eat his dinner. What can I do to fix this? And what she settled on was, I'm going to let him hit my weed pen.
That'll get him hungry.
Several times a day.
How old was the kid?
He's 2.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Listen, I may not have been the best parent. I did not. Not at 2. That's a little young. They got to at least be 6, right?
Yeah, like, it seems like that's something that, got to be a teenager. I think once they're a teenager, it's like I've got one son who's 13 and one who's 8. You know, I don't give drugs to my 8-year-old. I'm not that kind of a parent
yet.
So that's. I think there's got to be some sort of line drawn there. But yeah, 2-year-old son, she would let him smoke her vape pen, and she said that he would sleep better and eat more. So it was kind of a win.
Well, are there studies that say it's damaging to two-year-olds?
I don't know.
Because, to be honest, to do those studies, don't you have to give it to a two-year-old?
I think this is the only...
Maybe that's what she's doing.
I think this is the only scientist who's tried this experiment, and now she got arrested for trying it. That's apparently in the scientific community, it's frowned upon to give kids weed. But...
Now, we got to just quit trusting science then.
And so she was supposed to take the boy to the doctor in June and July for vaccinations, but she started to get worried that he would fail a drug test, basically, like that weed would show up in his system. So she decided not to get him vaccinated. It's like, that's another thing. During Rona times, seems like a good time to make sure your kids get all their shots and stuff. Again, I'm a bad parent, so I don't know what good parents would do. I'm just saying I would think you'd want to get your kids vaccines during Corona times anyway.
Well, I'm guessing, though, she said to the two-year-old, hey, I'm not going to take you to the doctor. And the two-year-old's like, it's cool, man.
Authorities said
it's totally cool. It's
when when a relative was visiting, he noticed the child seemed lethargic, which that happens.
Yeah.
You know when that doesn't happen? When you give two-year-olds cocaine.
Yeah.
There's no lethargy with that.
Well, I'm just wondering if the two-year-old was sitting there counting the spots on his Dalmatian, right? Because that's what I do.
The lady's ex-girlfriend notified him about what was going on. He called his attorney and then called the Department of Children and Families. They took the boy to a hospital where he took a drug test and was positive for THC, and she went to jail. Womp, womp.
You know, I think maybe we need to rethink the laws here. She was just being forward-thinking. You know?
What? How forward-thinking?
Well, I mean, maybe this is a way. I think that's five now, by
Thank
the way.
You.
Yeah, that was a weak one. Now, I'm hoping you finish strong because we have one segment left. But, maybe this is a way to handle two-year-olds. I mean, you have those whole terrible twos. Maybe this is a way to do it. Maybe she's just way ahead of the curve.
I feel like that's kind of like the parents who are tired of their kid waking them up in the middle of the night, so they give them Benadryl before bed. I don't think that's good parenting.
When we were growing up, they would give us whiskey to make us sleep, which probably explains a lot.
One time, I think I was like 12 or something, and I was playing tennis, and I hurt my knee, and I was like, my knee was cut, and it was bleeding kind of a lot, and when I got home, my dad was like, I don't think it needs stitches. So he just poured some Crown Royal in it and was like, it'll be good.
Yeah, it usually works. That's what they did in the OS.
And then my aunt came over and saw it and was like, get in the car. We've got to go to the hospital. And of course, I needed five stitches in my knee.
Oh,
and
that's nothing.
He was like convinced I didn't need any stitches. I had like a mini vagine on my knee. And I mean, it was talking, and he was like, it's fine. Just pour some whiskey in there. You'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't know that dads make the best doctors.
No.
I crashed a go-kart once into a fence and sliced my finger to the point where the finger was hanging off, and he basically just said, put a Band-Aid on it and wrapped it up. It's like, yeah, okay.
Did your finger grow back to normal?
After I went to the doctor 2 days later because it got infected.
Oh. I accidentally
and I had to get stitches, yes.
I accidentally chopped my friend's Eric, I chopped his thumb off with a hydraulic wood splitter when we were in high school. Not the whole thumb, but like if you draw a line from the top corner of the thumbnail to the bottom corner of the thumbnail, I chopped that off. And luckily the piece of his thumb was still in a glove he was wearing. So I drove him to the hospital. I made him hang his arm out the window because I didn't want him to bleed in my car. And then when we got there, they sewed it back on. And after about 2 weeks, it was like really black and looked terrible. But they said it was going to grow back, like it was going to go back to normal. And I convinced Eric that we should go outside and play basketball. And I knocked his thumb off again. And then he just didn't have a tip of his thumb for the rest of his life. So what
who needs that anyway? How often do you use that?
So what I would do for the rest of our friendship was I would go into his house and tie all his shoelaces in really tight knots because he had zero chance of unknotting them without a thumb. I was also a terrible friend in high school.
You're a pretty terrible person. Yeah, I still have the scar from that on here where it basically, I mean, it was like hanging. It was so bad. I'm like, my dad's like, oh, yeah, I had a Band-Aid.
I mentioned before when I worked at Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah.
A different Eric, this kid's name was Eric Jones. We worked at Baskin-Robbins together, and he was doing dishes. And I was just shoving all the dishes down the metal into the sink. And I flung a knife down there. Right through the middle of his finger. So, like, you could see the knife come, like, going in one side and out the other. Yeah, not good.
All right.
He drove himself to the hospital, though, so he didn't bleed in my car.
I have to tell you about Harry's, guys. And you know what? You want to cut a finger off? Then Harry's razors would work great. No, don't do that. Harry's razors are fantastic. And if you haven't tried them yet, and guys and girls, they have new sharper blades that are so much better. And they didn't raise the price. They're still as low as $2 each. And you can find them at big box drug grocery stores near you. But if you want to shop online, you don't want to go out right now, this is the way to do it, harrys.com. Use code KFNC. You're going to get a trial set for $3. And the cool thing is it's 100% quality guarantee. So if you don't like what you get, you'll get your $3 back. And here's what you're going to get. You're going to get if you go online, you're going to get a Harry's trial set for just $3 with code KFNC at harrys.com. That includes a five-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, all for just $3, plus free shipping. Now, if you want to go to your big box drug and grocery stores, head over to the grooming aisle and check it out. But if you go online, harrys.com, don't forget to use code KFNC at checkout and give Harry's sharper blades a try.
I was going to go to class before I got high.
Come on, y'all.
Check it out. I could have cheated and I could have passed, but I got high.
This is The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow live from Madison's in Beaumont. This is The Blitz. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. One final segment to go here in Madison's and Beaumont. And let's do a little Hoffman on Hollywood, man.
Let's do it. Let's start with... this might be something of interest to you because you're into all kinds of odd things. I mean, no offense.
Well, I wouldn't say odd. I would say unique. I'm unique.
Do you know the difference between bisexual and pansexual?
Pansexual is when you do it with a guy and a girl in a bedpan.
Tyler, do you know the difference between bisexual and pansexual?
Guessing that was incorrect.
I believe you're a lover of all human beings.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter... It could be anything. Like if Trey identified as a peanut butter sandwich and Tyler was pansexual, Tyler would make love to Trey even though he's a peanut butter sandwich.
Well, I think it more covers the T and Q part.
That's true. And yeah. Maybe aliens.
Aliens too. Yeah.
Now you're in, right?
Now you're talking my language, yes.
You're a pansexual.
So Lottie Moss, who is the sister of Kate Moss... And it's also incredibly hot. She's 22. How old's Kate Moss?
She's got to be pushing 40, right?
They can't. They've got to have separate moms or something, or separate dads. No, because I don't know. Because Kate Moss is like an
26.
Old lady.
Wow.
How's she got a 22-year-old sister? And they're kind of equally hot. But she's announced that she's pansexual, Fred. So that's good news. She's been.
Is she alien though?
I don't. Think so, damn. But I think that she would, because she's a lover of all, that would include really ugly dudes.
There's that.
So, that's something. That's something. Wonder Woman, 1984, which we announced the other day, will be on HBO Max. You don't have to go to a movie theater to watch it. You can just watch it on HBO Max. I don't know about the release date, though. How about Christmas Day?
I like that. There's always a good movie that comes out on Christmas Day. And
oh, you like to go to movie theaters,
yeah,
on Christmas.
Yeah, that's like one of our traditions. We always go to, like last year we went and watched that Knives Out on Christmas Day.
But was, okay, this is a cultural question. Did that become, is that something you've done since you had Jewish children?
No, it's not.
Because all my Jewish friends go to the movie theater on Christmas.
No, actually, it started when the Canadian moved here. We started
doing
it.
Oh, she started it. Yeah, she's not Jewish.
We actually started it before we got married. When I met her in Buffalo, we went and saw Inglourious Basterds.
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Wonder Woman 1984, Christmas Day debut on HBO Max. Because that's what everybody needs to do on Christmas Day is gather around the television and watch HBO. That's
better than watching basketball.
Well, I wasn't going to do that. I'm going to watch football on Christmas.
Yeah, I will watch it on Christmas Day.
Bobby Brown Jr. dead. 28 years old. Another one of Bobby Brown's kids is dead.
Punched to death?
Not punched to death, no. And it says they do not believe there was foul play involved, but he was 28 years old. There's not a lot of details into the death right now, but obviously you remember Bobby Christina died when she was just 22, found in a bathtub, high on cocaine and alcohol. Whitney Houston died in a bathtub, high on cocaine and alcohol. And that was 3 years before Bobby Christina did it. So there's no I don't think there was a bathtub with Bobby Jr., but this is he was only 28 years old, so if there's no foul play involved, I'm not going to speculate that there were drugs involved with Bobby Brown Jr.'s death. I'm a big fan of the movie series Halloween. What I'm not is the kind of super fan that would ask for Jamie Lee Curtis to officiate my wedding. And this guy did that. Anthony Woodall is a super fan, married his longtime girlfriend Emily in a ceremony officiated by ordained minister Jamie Lee Curtis. He then died 1 hour after the wedding. Now, apparently he was terminally ill, which leads to the question, why would you spend the last hour of your life married? It just seems like a really horrible, horrible decision. And finally, the Queen's Gambit. Have you watched this?
Yeah, we've talked about it. I'm not a chess guy, but I thought it was fantastic.
The popularity of chess is rocketing right now. 5 times the number of new online players than last year. Lockdown and the Queen's Gambit have been credited with bringing new players to the board. So at least something's good coming off the television. People out playing chess, getting smarter, Fred. Not you, though?
No, not me.
Could be you, though.
No. One more thing to add. Not something you'd be interested in, but everybody else will. Saturday, December 26th. Season 9 of Letterkenny drops.
Oh,
7
yeah.
episodes. You're going to drop them all at once. That's a big Texas 10-4. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Tyler. Great job, AJ. You were on your game today. Thank you guys so much for coming out, man. Love coming over here. Love you guys. Hopefully we'll see you again soon. Who knows? Or the Rona may kill us tomorrow. So until tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.